I'm Pielo Lumumba here at Naiposha Gardens in Limuru in Kenya. And today we want to have a conversation about African resources. And in order to understand the resources of the mother continent, there is wisdom in looking at history. History helps us appreciate what has constituted resources from the continent of Africa over the ages. When we go deep into history and we go and recognize that slavery existed, we must remind ourselves that before slavery started, Africa actually traded with the rest of the world. That trade entailed the exchange of goods between Northern Africa and the European world, particularly the Portuguese and the Spaniards in the Iberian Peninsula. The Mediterranean trade became great because there was activity in Northern Africa. There was activity in Mali amongst the Dogon, and we had kingdoms such as the Kingdom of Mali, the Kingdom of Songhai, the kingdoms of Monomotapa in Southern Africa, the Zulu Kingdom, the Bunyoro Kitara Kingdom, the Buganda Kingdom, all of which traded either with Northern Africa and Western Europe, and even the Arabs. And history now confirms to us that even the Chinese. Then that trade was abruptly stopped when the European conquerors started conquering different parts of the world. They had gone to the Americas, they had gone into the Caribbean, they had gone to Latin America, and they were already planting sugarcane. And they saw that African commodities in and of themselves were not sufficient. So what did they do? They commodified the human being. And the commodification of the human being is what led to the commencement of what is known as the Atlantic slave trade. But that slave trade is one that we talk about, but we must also remember that there was also slave trade in the Indian Ocean. But the Atlantic slave trade is critical and therefore deserves examination and scrutiny. Over half of the population of Africans were taken to the Caribbean, taken to Latin America, taken to the United States of America, and of course, in the eastern part, taken to the Arab world. And what then happened is that they were used in the sugar plantations, they were used in the cotton plantations, and they were commodified, they were made into things, they were reduced into non-humans. And when slavery had lost its attraction and luster, then the Europeans started the scramble for Africa. The scramble for Africa at that time was based on agricultural produce because Europe had not industrialized. So the British and the French and all of them in Europe came to the continent of Africa because the continent of Africa had fertile lands. That is how they introduced coffee. That is how they brought about tea. That is how sugarcane was then planted. And we must remind ourselves that at critical times, some of these crops were preserved. Africans were not allowed to grow any of these crops. What they could do is to be used as labor in the market. And they then created factories. When you hear about tea in the United Kingdom, when you hear about coffee, when you hear about all these things, none of these countries grows not a single bush of coffee, not a single bush of tea. All these is from the mother continent. When Europe went into industrialization, the scramble for African resources now took a different trajectory. It took the trajectory of looking at the minerals so that copper in Zambia became attractive. Uranium in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Mali became attractive. Cobalt became attractive. Iron ore became attractive. Coal became attractive. Gold became attractive, which led some authors to say that Africa's resources and her riches are a blessing and her curse. Her curse because people come to the continent of Africa because of what they want to extract from them. There is a famous Greek philosopher called Pliny. And Pliny once remarked, out of Africa, something new always comes. And what he meant at that time is that Africa is the land of opportunities. It is the land of opportunities where the rest of humanity comes to harvest. And she has been harvested over the years. And it's as if history would have left us in that space. When you think that Africa has been spared, that is when she's being raped and ravished, even in a worse manner. Today, if you look at the continent of Africa, and you look at many African countries, and you look at the resources that they have, and you look at the kind of wars that are being prosecuted in the continent of Africa, you will be shocked. The Democratic Republic of Congo, it is estimated conservatively the richest country on earth. But because of that, she's never been at peace. As we speak now, it is estimated that there are over 120 armed groups in the eastern part of Congo. It is estimated that the eastern part of Congo has the busiest skies in Africa because of the private jets that keep on moving in and out of that part of the world. It is a blessing, but it is also a curse because the foreign world does not allow the Democratic Republic of Congo to know peace. Chad is also another country that has suffered the same fate. Mali is also another country that has suffered the same fate. I always remember this, that history tells us that at one time, when there was gold in the Sahel, when they traveled to Mecca for Hajj, they changed the entire economy of that part of the world because of the quantity of gold that they carried with them. Today, you go to the vaults of France, to the vaults of the United Kingdom, and see the gold that is there is all extracted from the continent of Africa. If you go to the beauty that you see in Brussels and you look at the electrification, that is copper from Zambia. You go to France and you see the city of lights, that is copper from Zambia and other minerals. In other words, we live in a world where survival is for the fittest and death is for the least suitable. African countries have been ravaged. They have been made weak, and they have chosen to remain weak themselves through disunity. The net effect is that the philosophy and the strategy and the very act of divide and rule has made African countries weak, with the consequence that our resources have also become our curse. In a book that commends reading and which demands to be read, Greg Mills and Geoffrey Herbst, a book titled The Third Liberation of Africa, they say that the time is now for Africa to liberate herself. The time is now for Africa to use our resources for our benefit. The time is now for African companies to ask themselves, what can we do with our uranium? What can we do if we put together our technology? The time is now for Africans to determine how they can use their diamond. Until very recently, diamond that is mined in Namibia and in Botswana was cut in Antwerp in Belgium. And until now, the price of diamond is determined in Antwerp. That must not happen. Until now, the gold that is mined in South Africa and the gold that is mined in Ghana is traded in London Stock Exchange. Until now, the cobalt that is mined in the Democratic Republic of Congo is used to make car batteries in order to create electric cars in China. The time is now for African countries to reverse the resource curse so that it can be a resource blessing. And that is only achievable if there is unity. You know, statistics tell a truth. In North America, the inter-American trade is almost at 65%. Intra-European trade is almost at 70%. Intra-Asian trade is almost at 60%. Intra-African trade is only at 15%. We cannot, as a continent, survive if we are not trading amongst ourselves, if we are not adding value to our resources. And the time is now to begin to invest in areas that will ensure that our resources do not leave our continent as raw. The time is now for us to invest in research and development and to ensure that our resources are used for our benefit, that jobs are created in the continent of Africa. You know, when you have iron ore, and what you do is to mine the iron ore and send it out in its raw form, the jobs are created elsewhere. The real jobs are created elsewhere. And if we leave the mining and you are mining cobalt, and it is estimated that in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there are no less than 40,000 young children between the ages of 9 and 14 who are involved in mining. And this is in the International Labour Organization statistics. And that this cobalt in its raw form is once again taken out of the continent of Africa. Let us not discuss this as if only minerals are our resource. Timber from the Democratic Republic of Congo. They are taken to Malaysia, they are taken to China, and then we gleefully import furniture from China, and we gleefully import furniture from Sweden while we can do it ourselves. And it's not only that, our resource, our tea is taken to the United Kingdom and then they bring us Lipton teas. And then our coffee is taken away from us. And when they go out there, Starbucks is the one that creates the real jobs. The only jobs that we have here are tea pickers. It cannot be allowed to happen. We must do something about it. And our young people in the continent of Africa must now get themselves involved. We on our part are doing it in Africa by encouraging Africans to begin to do things that are real. Whether they are in Malawi, in Lilongwe, whether they are in Ouagadougou, in Burkina Faso, whether they are in Nouakchott, in Mauritania, whether they are in Tunis, in Tunisia, or whether they are in Juba, in southern Sudan, or in Dodoma, in Tanzania, or in Nairobi, Kenya. The message is one and singular, that up till now, our resources have been used by others. Many have written about them. The writer Martin Meredith writes about them in many of his books. The writers who care about Africa write about them. The time is now for Africa to write her story, remembering that these resources are given to us to change our lives. The divine instruction was, go ye and subdue the earth. The time is now for us to go forth and subdue the earth. Take cobalt and make mobile telephone. Take copper and make electricity. Take coffee beans and make coffee. If we do that, we'll be doing Africa the service that she deserves. Thank you very much. We are here at Naiposha Gardens in Limuru. We will see you again for another engagement.